got a bad feeling about this.
Welcome to the Uncle Owen and Craft Brew Podcast, your home for all things Star Wars and craft beer. Join us at the cantina as we drink the galaxy's best brews and have the nerdiest conversations.
You know you wanted it, so we are back. Welcome once again to episode 3 of the Uncle Owen and Craft Brew Podcast, your only Star Wars and craft beer podcast. I'm sure that's not true. I'm sure there's another one. I'm Lee.
I'm Raymond.
I know you've all been sitting at home wondering, what did Lee and Raymond think of The Last Jedi? Well, now you're going to find out. We're going to keep it short. We're going to somehow work this into a mini episode. Keith's not here because we're talking about Star Wars.
Well, we're talking about Star Wars because Keith's not here.
Look, chicken, egg, I can't figure it out. It's a complex riddle. I do see that you're opening a bottle of beer. Before we get to that, though, we should say something about this show is actually Brew Drink Run. This is actually episode 192. This is a short episode on short episodes. We just drink a beer and talk about a single topic. Topic this week's apparently The Last Jedi. If you like the show, God bless you. Please let people know. Go online and tell people where you tell people online. That would be Google Plus. That would be Yelp. And that would be Yahoo Reviews. Those are all three places you can go and tell people.
You can Yelp review podcasts?
Nope. You cannot. But if you,
I thought I was missing something.
If you find a way to make that work, let us know. Let us know what you think by going to Fandango or Rotten Tomatoes. And let us know what you think about this podcast. Oh, that pop can only mean one thing. We're drinking a beer. What do we got for our convo beer today, Raymond?
Well, today we have a a lovely
get right in the
beer.
Mic with that cough.
Sorry.
No, with the cough. You know, your voice is great. Oh, boy. All three listeners are gone.
We had three? Wow.
We had three after the Uncle Owen and Craft Brew music happened.
All right, so today we're drinking Sour Opal, which is an American wild ale by Firestone Walker Brewing Company. And this label has more information than you could possibly imagine on it. Do you have any more intro stuff that you need before I get into all of that stuff?
No, I don't need any more intro stuff. Let's talk about the beer first. Let's get that out of the way.
Okay, so Firestone Walker, Sour Opal. It is a barrel from their Barrel Works program, and it is a mix of beers. let's see, we've got barrel ratio 91% French oak and 9% American oak over a 12 to 50 month time period. Somewhere in there. It has a titrable acidity.
Say that one more time.
Titrable. Mm-hmm. I think that's a real thing.
Got it.
Of 10.1 grams over liter. I don't know what that is. Microflora, we've got Lambicus, we've got Brucellus, and Brevis, and Demonus? I don't know.
Demonus?
No, it's D-A. It'd be more fun if it was Demonus.
Yeah.
5.9 ABV. We're drinking it out of a 12.7 fluid ounce bottle. Lovely little bottle here. And the beer is a special creation inspired by the Lambic Gruz producers of Belgium, blending young and mature beer from our Barrel Works program. Its complexity involves over many months and years of maturations and intricate microbial interactions with oak, infinite patience, and creative blending.
I hope in your mind's eye you imagine that in a yellow text against a star field, moving slowly up in a pyramidal shape and disappearing as it reaches the top of your field of vision. We don't have a strict Star Wars beer today to do this for as we talk about The Last Jedi, but Sour Opal. I was trying to think of something in the Star Wars canon that went along with Sour Opal. Was there anything that came to mind for you, Raymond, when you hear Sour Opal?
I can't say that there is. I want to say there's an Opal character, though, isn't there?
There may be, but the one thing that I thought of, unfortunately and sadly, and I'm not bragging, is the OPC killer from Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. This was the big fish that has the little antenna on its head with all the rows of teeth when they're in the water. And
oh, I didn't know that. Of course that thing has a name.
Of course, because it was a toy, and you could buy it as a two-pack with Qui-Gon Jinn. Now, you may remember the OPC killer from how Jar Jar Binks described it as big gooper fish, huge old teeth. I hope that I did him a little bit of justice. My favorite character from Star Wars, Jar Jar Binks. So we poured Sour Opal into glasses. Surprisingly clear. Nice golden color, but you can see through this.
You know what? We had different pours. You had the first pour. I had the second pour, and it is much cloudier. Same color, but a much cloudier beer.
I think the OPC killer could swim right through mine. I don't think he'd have any trouble getting to the other side and swallowing up those Jedi in their little pod with that classic character, Jar Jar Binks. The aroma on it, what do you have on that?
Just a lot of tartness, a little bit of fruit, sweetness.
A little bit of Bantha dandruff, just a little bit. It smells, it's got a great wild ale smell. Wild ale smell.
Where are you from?
I'm from Naboo. I'm Jar Jar's brother. Anyway.
Jim Bob.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something that was funny that was two names, but I couldn't. Jim Bob is great. I'll be Jim Bob. It smells, it has a really nice smell for a wild ale. That is, it has the sourness, it has a cherry fruitness, it has a little bit of funk, a little bit of barnyard to it. It smells great.
Yeah, it does. Tastes good, too.
Ah.
Sweet tart.
Sweet tart. Really nice and crisp, though.
Yep.
You get a nice, I get that cherry, that rosiness on it, as far as a fruit to lean on, I would say it would be cherry, a really nice kind of a fresh cherry, not a powdery medicinal cherry. And just get right up in there as you clear through. They're all gone now. So I can just go back to talking about the OP sea killer. Some people just call it an OP, but I really like the full name. It's a meat-eating crustaceous sea creature, about 20 meters in length, a pretty good size. All right, I can't keep doing this.
I'm just going to call it a gooberfish.
Big gooberfish.
So my first sip was just all sweet tart, but the second one, I took a bigger sip and I kind of let it sit in the mouth a little while longer, and I got a lot more fruit, a little apricot maybe. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And it coated the tongue really well. It's kind of a creamy texture to it.
That was great. I think you described it really well. Our apologizations to Firestone Walker, because we are now shifting gears completely and talking about Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. This is the second movie in the third trilogy of the film series created by George Lucas, now handled by the Lucasfilm division at the Walt Disney Company. The new trilogy was kicked off a few short years ago, by a little fella named J.J. Abrams, who directed Star Wars Episode 7. And that was a movie called The Force Awakens. Introduced us to a new cast of characters, like Daisy Ridley, who plays Rey, and John Boyega, who plays Finn, and more people that do things. And then brought back some old favorites, sure, like Han Solo and Princess Leia. This is the second movie, a follow-up, and there's a lot of reckoning that has to be done. Rian Johnson took over for the second episode, and we both had the opportunity to see it. Couple times, right? How many times have you seen it?
I've actually only seen it once so far.
All right, great. This is gonna be good. Yeah. I've had the chance to see it a couple times, maybe just twice. I feel like I've seen it more. Is that bad that I feel like I've seen it twice and I feel like I've seen it several times? I can't decide if that's good or bad. I feel intimately familiar with this movie having seen it twice.
Okay.
Where this movie picks off, why don't you set the stage with our core characters, Raymond, and where this movie picks off?
Okay, so the previous movie ends with our main character, Rey, handing off Luke Skywalker's and Darth Vader's lightsaber to Luke
Skywalker.
Yes.
Let's get back to the prequels real quick.
To Luke Skywalker, who has sequestered himself on an island alone. And it picks up right at that moment.
Should we go ahead and say at this point, this is just going to be spoiler-filled? I can't. I'm just going to say there's just going to be... Just don't stop listening. If you don't want to hear what happened in this
they
movie.
Haven't already.
If at this point you're still listening to this and you haven't seen the movie... You're wonderful, and I'm very happy that you're here. And we are going to have a great little talk about this. So, exactly right. That's where the last movie left off. And this movie had, for me, a decidedly different tone than the previous Star Wars films. And that includes the original trilogy, the prequels, and also Episode 7. I think that Rian Johnson brought his own vision to this. And I believe there's a Mark Hamill quote that... basically says that he felt like he was one of Ryan's action figures being like tossed around and just having to do whatever he said. And we'll start with the portrayal, I guess, of Luke Skywalker, because I feel like that's the most divisive piece of this story of Episode 8. So really quickly, Rey hands Luke his lightsaber, and he nonchalantly, without a word, tosses it over his shoulder off of a cliff. And we are already kind of we've already had our first glimpse of kind of humor in this movie before this. There's a scene where Poe Dameron prank calls General Hux.
That's right.
So we kind of start on that, and that sets the tone as being a little bit more lighthearted or fun. And then when we get our long-awaited return of Luke Skywalker, we have this kind of comedic turn with that too. So when we're introduced to Luke, and you see Luke's journey and progression through this, through not wanting to train Rey, he says that the Jedi had it all wrong. He's sitting this out. He's disconnected himself from the Force. He decides to show her a couple of things in attempt to scare her off from it. And then ultimately in the end, he gives his life in order to help the fledgling, not rebellion, but whatever they call themselves, resistance to escape at the end of the movie. What were you left with your impressions of how Luke Skywalker was portrayed in this movie, Raymond?
Well, I honestly wasn't particularly happy with it when I was watching the movie. I thought that all of the other movies, the other three movies, had set him up to be this kind of super positive hero, saves the universe on the galaxy in a couple of times, and was all about the Jedi, and then here he was being this cynical kind of hermit, and didn't particularly like it, and then... And kind of felt like he was almost like this ruined character that they'd, big spoiler at the end of the first movie, the first in the trilogy, we find out that all of our main characters from the original group did not have particularly happy endings to their lives. And
Han continued to be a scoundrel, apparently, and not be able to make things work with Leia.
Yeah.
Leia became a general in this resistance, stopped being a politician and started being more of a warrior. Yeah. Chewbacca's still hanging out with Han. Yeah. And Luke has disappeared at the end of the first movie, for sure.
So, that kind of disappointed me. I was hoping that they were supposed to live happily ever after, not have, like, normal lives.
So is that still where you're at? Are you still kind of?
We had a discussion that has swayed me a little bit, because all of the other main Jedi leaders have gone on to be cynical hermits living on separate planets.
Correct. And I feel like the one constant in these Star Wars movies have been the cyclical nature of things. And at first glance, The Last Jedi breaks all of a lot of that, mm-hmm. you know, with the format, with the tone, and with some of the decisions that they make, especially with episode 7, that was really almost a note for note, mm-hmm. had a lot of the same beats as episode 4. It really seemed like a recreation. They have to fight a Death Star again, and yep. and there's a young person on a desert planet who mm-hmm. needs guidance, and there are all these similarities. And at first glance, for me, The Last Jedi didn't have those same beats. But the more I thought about it,
yeah.
the more it has different beats that are the same. So, you know, it starts off with the Resistance, the new rebels, fleeing a base that's been discovered by the First Order, the new Empire, which is mm-hmm. the exact beginning of Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. And as it goes through, well, what you touched on with the Luke characteristics... this is, of course, from a wonderful one-screen grab meme that I saw someplace, because that's what we've all been reduced to. But it's a picture of Obi-Wan, and it's like, you know, hey, the Jedi Temple was... my Padawan became this harbinger of evil, and so I went to a desert planet and hid for the rest of my life. And then it was Yoda, and he was, I didn't see the great evil of Darth Sidious, the Emperor, rising around us, so I went and lived in a marsh for the rest of my life. And then it's Luke, like, what else am I supposed to do? And I was like, well, yeah, it is this. Mm. You know, it may not have been the end that you wanted. You may have wanted the cycle to be broken or to be changed. But that precedent was very well established in canon, that this is something that the failure and the humility and the having to pay for it in some way, the monastic nature, the kind yeah. of being a hermit, being a monk, being a student again, I feel like comes up in these movies, which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah. I mean, it was not the swashbuckling. I think we all would have loved to have seen something in the middle, you know, mm-hmm. something is, you know, if this movie would have made, or they would have made a movie 10 years ago or 15 years ago and seen a movie of Luke at the height of his Jedi-ness, because he was just coming into it at Return of the Jedi, and then we don't see him again.
Yeah.
You know, for a very long time, almost 40 years in that. And so it's that's fine. I have other issues with other parts of the movie. By the way, I really enjoyed it. I don't want to bury the lead. I really liked it, and I liked it in large part because it wasn't my Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I think that was a very weird kind of place to come to with it, but I think that ultimately that was my thing, is that if Star Wars is going to continue to be around, then it's going to have to be different things. Mm-hmm. They can't just make the movies over and over again.
Nope.
They tried the prequels. The old people like us, a lot of us did not like them, or did not like them as much as we hoped to like them. Mm-hmm. I feel like they have some charm now that there's some past behind it. But at the time, I was upset. And then with the new movies, it's this new thing. And I feel like it needs to continue to do that. And I have my own misgivings about J.J. Abrams coming back for the next one.
Yeah.
Just because I saw what he did before. But maybe with this middle movie, he has some more freedom. How's your beer?
It's pretty good.
Thanks for checking in. Okay.
And if you want to update the Opal... This is our connection here, is a ship from the Star Wars X-Wing Alliance book. It was a Sinar Fleet Systems Lambda-class T-4A shuttle belonging to the Rebel Alliance during the Galactic Civil War.
We promised you nerds. You got it.
Yep.
All right. A couple of other things I want to touch on. The story was what the story was, and I think that we'll talk about the ending maybe in a second. But let's hit on the main characters. We hit on Luke. The other main character arcs we need to deal with, I think the other massive one that we got was a little bit of a pivot and a turn from Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren in these new movies is the surrogate for your Darth Vader. He is the new big bad, but we have him in this interesting part of his life. So we are seeing a guy in his process of transformation into becoming the big bad.
Mm-hmm.
And him having a mentor in the first movie in Snoke. The second movie here, Snoke quickly becomes less of a piece of this puzzle, which has its own problems. I think for those of us who are conspiracy theorists or love the lore and the backstory, Kylo Ren dispatches with his mentor, you know, in pretty easily,
yes,
with without expanding much on who Snoke was, how he actually infiltrated Luke's Jedi Order, and none of that. All that's just wiped, which I think we'll probably get in some books or other stuff later on. Probably, I would think.
Wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, it's ripe for that. And then he has this kind of epiphany, and he has his own kind of awakening in this about who he wants to be. What did you think about Kylo Ren in the last movie versus this movie?
Oh, I think he's... Well, all right. So I went back and watched the first one, actually, just the other day. And he really came off as like the petulant teenager, even more so than he did previously, now that we've got a little... So a little bit of growth in the second movie, but he still is, he's like a child. He throws tantrums and he's kind of sad in a way.
Totally. And I've gone back and watched hesitantly and without a lot of enjoyment, watched like parts of episode 2 and episode 3 and how Hayden Christensen portrayed a young or Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker, and he does such a better job of it in these new movies. Look, he had a tough script to work with in those early movies. He had a lot he had to carry on his back. But in the new movies, the Kylo Ren character, I feel like, does it in a way that's much more watchable and enjoyable and appealing. And maybe part of it was the foreknowledge that this is Darth Vader. You hear whining, but you heard Luke whining about Tashi Station. It's all these things, this child who can't grow up fast enough that keeps happening in these different stages. The nice thing that I like so far is we're not really seeing that with Rey's character. Yeah. I feel like we may be starting to break some of these things with some of these new characters, I hope, because they're not lineage. They're not going to exactly fall into that. So we have him, we have Kylo Ren, who I enjoyed far more in this movie. I liked the dynamic, how they played he and Rey together. I felt that worked really well. We have General Leia Organa, who Carrie Fisher died after her filming in this movie. And I fully intended her character to die in this movie.
I was fully expecting it, too.
She did not die.
She did not. She's the only one that survives.
So I do not. R.I.P. Admiral Akbar, Mia Numm, who was just totally forgotten. Admiral at least got a token, like somebody just offhandedly said he died off camera. I'm hoping that's in the deleted scenes. I really want him to get his Viking burial or something. She had this great scene that was the only time that we've ever seen Leia use her Force powers other than telepathy, which may or may not have been her own control in some of the previous movies. But we got to see her do this space pull thing, which is this space jump.
The last creation in space. Like it was...
Yeah, it was very Michelangelo. Which I thought was cool enough. I mean, I assume that if you're a Jedi, you have the power to do this, so why wouldn't you do it? Why she doesn't use these powers all the time, I was confused by. I would just constantly be showing these off as parlor tricks. But so she survives as a part of the fledgling group here at the end, so we'll see how that plays out. Things that your overall, we need to wrap it up. This is a short episode. We're going to keep it short. What did you not see in this movie that you wanted to see, that you hoped you would see in, as a part of episode 8 that just didn't happen?
I did. So I was expecting the death of Princess Leia, although I do think the entire movie was kind of a love letter to Carrie Fisher. She was everywhere. I was really kind of expecting that and was hoping that there was going to be kind of a tidy wrap up to that, that everybody could, I mean, everybody kind of says goodbye at some point in the movie, how they're going to make that happen in the third one. I have ideas, but I don't know, where they'll go with that. And so is that what you asked? What I was expecting?
Yeah, what you were missing. If there's something missing, that you thought was coming
in, I really did think that was going to happen. That there was going to be a lot of goodbyes and she would go to the Force at some point during the movie.
And instead we had that moment with Luke, which some of the criticism was we should have had Leia do that sacrifice.
Right.
And Lord knows they could make her in CGI at this point. They've already done it.
But I have this feeling that the next movie is going to take a couple of years down the road, and then all of a sudden she's just not going to be in the picture anymore. And it starts off with her funeral or something like that, and this is the impetus that kicks off whatever happens in the third movie.
Because there are literally, from what we see, only about 30 to 40 team members left max of the core group. And the idea is that they send out this message and other people, I presume, will join them. But it's a very small group of resistance members that are left. For me, honestly, what I thought that I would get that did not happen, I thought we would get Lando. I thought Billy Dee Williams would come back.
Well, you know, he was supposed to.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was supposed to be the... So the John Boyega's character and his new love interest go off on
Rose,
a little caper. Rose, yes. Go off on a little caper to find a hacker, essentially.
Oh, boy. Don't get me
what do they call it? A slicer. Yeah, I know, this whole thing is just... But originally, in the original script... The hacker was Lando Calrissian.
Interesting.
Well, and you know, it ends up being, or no, I'm sorry, the Benicio one that helps Toro, it is Benicio del Toro. But as you know, it's again spoilers here, Benicio del Toro's character kind of flips on them,
right? And they didn't want Lando
to do it. He wouldn't do that a second time. What was the argument? So they changed his character,
because that's another one of the things as I was kind of diagramming this movie in my head. Oh, we have the guy who sells them out in the second movie. That's the thing. At least this wasn't a friend. I guess there was that part of it that would have been interesting. I did read that the idea originally was to have Lando do that, but he's beloved. He was a general at Return of the Jedi, so he would be something else. You wouldn't really imagine that going back. I thought we would see him coming back and pairing off with Chewie and doing something. I like the Chewie Rey combo. I feel like that worked well. Favorite things about The Last Jedi, I gotta tell you, I feel like the comedy will, if there's some in the next movie, I feel like the comedy will hold up. I feel like if this was an aberration with this many kind of like jokes, then it will seem weird in the canon. But if it continues, I think it will be okay. I actually kind of like it. I like the humor. I like the shrugs. I kind of like that it was a shuffling off of things. I like the Porgs. I'm on Team Porg. I'm on Team Porg more than I was ever on Team Ewok, because that makes no sense. It's not like the Porgs were fighting anybody. They were just around, and Chewbacca was like, a pet for me.
The rats.
Great. I will take it. I had no problem with that. What are you looking forward to? How do you see this trilogy closing? What is the what are the culminating events to look forward to in Episode 9? You know, you mentioned that we have a possible funeral for Leia, but we've got big story arc that needs to close. The Rey Kylo Ren story arc is the overarching piece of this. The side piece now is the Finn Rose and Poe Dameron. We have these characters that are here now too. Laura Dern's character in The Last Jedi, I thought was great as Admiral Holdo. She was fantastic. She will not be back.
No.
So what is the resolution? How do you see Episode 9 capping this off?
Wow, big question. I think at some point we're going to get the true story behind Rey's parentage.
Boo, she's a nobody.
That's what they played off in the second movie. But as Kathleen Kennedy has said, that this is still a story, a Skywalker story. So I think somebody in there has got to be a Skywalker. even if it, or maybe it's about Leia. I don't know, but they've got to, these are things that have been said about these movies, and that's got to be part of it. It is a 9 episode story about the Skywalker. So I suspect we're going to figure out something along those lines, where that 9th movie fits.
Kylo is a Skywalker.
He is technically. So maybe...
Is it his redemption? Is he the one right. who's supposed to bring balance to the force?
I know. That's a line uttered in one movie that just throws off so many things.
Which was all put on Luke, and then George Lucas was like, no, it's actually Anakin, because he's the one who, at the end, Darth Vader is the one who, blah, blah, blah. He's the real hero. It's not your story anymore. You screwed this up. You got convoluted along the way. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You know, I like the Rey is nobody angle because Rian Johnson was greenlit for a new trilogy off nothing other than apparently making people happy on this movie about nobodies, about not Skywalker. So the first Star Wars non-Skywalker trilogy. And I think ultimately the next movie is the Rey-Kylo confrontation. Mm-hmm. It is their big battle. There's nobody, there's no Emperor figure, no Snoke. Or marriage, if my daughter has anything to do with it, that would be how it worked out. There's no overarching bad guy. It's just the two of them, really, at this point. I mean, you've got starfighter pilots, and you've got these lower level, but in terms of force users and people with the power to do something, I think it just really comes down to how that confrontation is going to go. Are they still going to be mind-linked without Snoke around? Can they still do that? Is that a device they can still use?
Didn't they do that after he was dead? Once?
They did, and I don't know if that's something that they're going to keep doing. And there was a different... Like, the vibe was a little bit different, like how it was edited. So I'm not quite sure how they're going to play that off. But maybe, once that door is open, maybe it's just open. So I think that it's going to be mostly about that. We'll get our goodbye to Carrie Fisher if it's just a funeral scene or if it's... They said they will not CG her, but maybe there's enough extra stuff they kept, they recorded, they filmed, that they can then use. And I think we'll get our first Force Ghost Luke. I think he'll come and do some guidance. I think he has to. But really...
Are we going to get Hayden Christensen back to do...
Have to. As no, the old Hayden, because he has to be the same age he was.
Yeah.
So they'll just reuse that. Okay. He won't come back. He'll just be that. But if history shows, I mean, so this last movie will be the Resistance's big throwdown against the First Order on a forested planet filled with small furry animals.
Borgs.
So looking forward to that. If you like this show, again, thank you so much, because you'll never hear another one like this.
Nope. Aberration.
Yeah, exactly. Brewdrinkrun.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, we're all over the place. Untapped, all that good stuff. Reach out, let us know your theories about The Last Jedi. Are you playing Battlefront? Let me know what your handle is. I'm trying to get through it. I'm not very good, but I'm enjoying Aiden Versio's story. I'm reading the Battlefront 2 book.
Oh, are you?
It's not good. I do not recommend that. It's very dry. It's very tough going to read.
The only Star Wars book that I've thoroughly enjoyed has been the Kenobi one. Yeah. All the other ones have been... Death Troopers was kind of fun, but it was, again, aberration.
There you go. 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465. Call us and tell us about your Star Wars fan theories. I want to hear what you think is going to happen in Episode 9. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts, technical running shirts available at our website. Click the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at the bar.
Cheers.
I forgot to hit the music because I was too busy.
Well, we didn't finish off with the beer either. The beer was really good.
All right. Cheers.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I feel like we could have talked a lot longer about this movie. I feel like we glossed over a lot of stuff.
Should we do a long episode?
Right now. No. If you want to hear more about Raymond and Lee talk about stuff that Keith doesn't want to talk about, let us know. And we'll see if we can make those wildest dreams come true. May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. I'm so glad you picked up on that.